Attention, 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 attention. You are listening to Cybercast. This is a podcast show that is dedicated to cyber enthusiasts, specialists, and everyone who wants to know more about the ever-mythical creature that we call the cyber. The following episode is a recording from NavaHack Estonia's annual event, the Nordic-Baltic Security Summit 2024. If you liked the episode and if you like our show, then please share, like, comment, and give us feedback on how we are doing. So, without further ado, let's dive into the topic and may the recording play. Hello, hello. Welcome. We are at the Nordic-Baltic Security Summit, and this is our podcast track. On this episode, we are talking about one of the crucial aspects of cybersecurity, and that is the incident response. As the question is not if, but rather when. When will the incident happen? Whether you are a cybersecurity professional, a business leader, or just someone who is cyber curious, yes, that's a thing. This episode will aim to give you a front row insight into what happens in an organization when an incident happens. So we are going to be exploring two scenarios. First scenario is that there is no incident plan. And the second scenario is that there is an incident response team ready to contain and lead the situation. Our guests here are Alexei Zyapkin, CTO of NavaHack Estonia, and Gabriel, you need to help me here.
Yes, I need to help you.
You need to help me.
Yes, you mean with my name?
Yes.
I don't know if I can disclose my name. Gabriel De Vos, happy to be there.
Thank you. Chief Strategy Officer at NavaHack. So, we are all experienced and have been part of multiple real-life incidents and seen the guts of it. So, the first scenario. We enter a company and there is no, absolutely no incident plan. So what typically happens in a company that goes through that kind of experience? Alexei?
In order to answer to this question, first of all, you need to understand or see the real life example of it. And I've been personally engaged in one of them, in many of them actually, but the one in particular I remember it was a couple of years ago with one manufacturing company, and they've been hit by a ransomware attack. So you need to understand what are the business consequences when you're facing such issue. And what actually happened, there was an IT company who was supporting that manufacturing company, and the IT guy seen the kind of some, you know, disabling of the antivirus on Friday night. So it was a Friday night. He wanted to take some beers, and he thought that some IT issue. And,
yeah. So did antivirus need some time off for rest for the weekend, right?
Yeah. So like the service 8x5 antivirus also need to have some rest. So he decided I will look at it on Monday. But yeah. what happened on Monday? Basically, business started to open, and everything was down. So it's a manufacturing company, so operations were down. Basically, email system was down, ERP system was down. Basically, entire business was fully paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And you cannot communicate with anyone, so they switched to WhatsApp. So they closed the internal communication paths and so on. So what happens when you face that situation? First of all, you try to kind of say to yourself, this is not happening with me. Mm-hmm. Denial, right? So first thing, what I saw is happening in many of those cases, you're trying to solve this issue yourself. Mm-hmm. And what happens, normally where you start from ransomware, you try to decrypt. But decrypting ransomware, do you think that attackers would build something that would be easily decrypted? Mm-hmm. And normally organizations are spending kind of
huge amount of time
on that before realizing I cannot do anything with that. So in order to kind of answer on the question, how do you feel or what is the atmosphere? So you need to put yourself in a situation when you're combating with something invisible. So you're combating with your own shadow and trying to explain to yourself, I can do it myself. But once you realize that you cannot do it, you'll start asking for help. By the end of the day, you'll start asking for help or paying ransom. So that's just a good example of, you know, being a victim. And I can tell more about it, but I would like to kind of give forward to Gabriel as well.
I will ask from Gabriel that what are kind of the most unexpected challenges that companies face in the situation where they have been hit by some cyber incident and they have no plan?
First element that comes to mind is they have to understand what happens. It's just like as if you had some sort of attack on your inner system and you lost a member. The arm is not responding well. And then it's like as if you were hemiplegic. You can't move. And then all the questions start to pop up and it's slowly coming up to the top of the organization. Yeah. And there is always one question is, what the hell is going on? And I'm as polite as I can be. And people don't understand. And if you don't have the right partners, what usually happens is they fail to characterize what is happening. And then it's very psychological issue.
So what is the managerial reaction?
First of all, it is fairly simple. So get it fixed. Get it fixed. And so you could mention the five stage of grief. Then denial, but the anger comes very close to denial, and that is really a big problem within the organization because you cannot deal with the situation yourself. You cannot be the doctor of yourself if you never studied medicine, and even if you did, it's probably best to assume that you're not going to be the best patient. Mm-hmm. I think it's a well-known fact. And so when it happens and you're not prepared, well, first of all, hardest part is to understand that you've been hit and you need to get all the help you can get.
One thing is that, of course, like the managerial part, first reaction is to get this out. But what is like the overall reaction in those situations?
Within the organization, you mean?
Yes.
Well, the thing is, you will have to deal with employees asking questions. If you fail to communicate with customers who are accessing the systems, for instance, because they're ordering online or they're being invoiced and stuff is not happening, you will have lots of questions. It might not come through the usual channels because they might be down. And so basically, pressure is going to add up. Pressure is going to add up, and if you're not ready for that, there is just one step, which is cool down and call someone.
What are the common pitfalls or mistakes that get made in these situations, common types?
Well, a crisis covers a wide range of activities. So it means you should gather all the people that are going to be the stakeholders of the crisis. The people we haven't mentioned is the people who are working in the IT. They have an important role to play. They know the architecture. They should supposed to have a proper map. They need to give us a good vision of the assets and give access to the systems they were supposed to intervene. And the thing is, I mentioned this on several occasions. It's about pride and prejudice. So the thing is, you pride yourself to be a good professional. So when it hits you, you are embarrassed about it and you want to fix it. You just want to make it disappear, just like it never happened. It's the same for the leaders of the company who did not invest in cyber. They would say, oh, no, come on. There must be some magic, something to make it disappear, to make it go away. It's a bad dream. No, it isn't. And for IT teams, what is more concerning is if they try to fix things on their own, well, they're going to erase tracks, they're going to facilitate what the hackers or the pirates have done, and it's going to be a mess to find the root cause. It's going to be a mess to investigate and try to think things, and we have to bear in mind it's also a speed race, because the thing is, the more time you lose, the more advance you give to the pirates. He doesn't know your system, or actually If he's hit you, the odds are he knows the system, but he's going to go for the golden. He's going to go for the golden pot before you can react. If you don't make containment measures, if you don't try to block access, and there are lots of things to be done at an early stage, and moreover, if you're not prepared.
I could only imagine that you mentioned that one of the mistakes is that people don't know their, or organizations don't know their own environment. And if the hit has been there, then there might be the case that the threat actor knows your infrastructure better than you. But Alexei, you have also been part of some CERT cases. Are there any commonalities that you would like to bring out that you would maybe now do differently or should be done differently?
Technically speaking, there are top four commonalities. What happens in the environment? First of all, backups. So people don't have, first of all, offline backups. Backups are online, meaning that hackers could try to encrypt them as well, or try to corrupt them. I've seen cases where IT people were trying to restore from backups the system which was set to factory default, and they managed to restore it after 4 days, and then they realized that after the factory reset, they restored the data and it was encrypted. So they wasted basically 4 days of their time. They didn't have any offline backups. Second thing, what is very common is that vulnerabilities. So some of the attacks, right, and most of the attacks are using weaknesses in your perimeter, unpatched systems, unpatched firewalls. This is a very common place to start trying to attack someone. Of course, in addition to the spear phishing, the third most common thing is that you are not training your employees for the crisis management situation. So what could happen, what would be the impact, and how we should react, who is doing what, and so on. So organizations are simply not prepared for such situations. And there are many, many other things, but those are the top things that I saw. And one of the things that always comes up is that we don't have logs. Mm-hmm. So simply you need to spend time on something that already happened in the past. You're trying to get the data from different systems. You're just wasting time. And again, as Gabriel said, this is a speed race. Every time you need to find something, this is on hands to the hackers.
Backup, backup, backup.
What does not having a plan mean to recovery time? Because actually we are the kind of key thing is to recover as fast as possible. What does it mean?
Simply put, each crisis, whatever happens, plan or no plan, 3 to 5 days of chaos, nothing's going to be working. And you don't want anything to work. You want to contain things. You want to take basically basic hygiene. You want to check whether where is the attacker gone to. And that's an assessment phase. And you will try to prepare business continuity. That's the second phase, 3 weeks. Business continuity. It's going to be a business continuity plan. It's going to be a disaster recovery plan. You're going to take all the consequence management measures you have to implement to try to come back to activity in order to restore the activity of the company. And then you have the recovery period, which is at least 3 months. But the thing is, it's just going to take you there where you think you cannot be targeted by the same attack. The thing is, usually in a period of 6 months, once you've been attacked, the odds of a replica hitting you again in the next 6 months is very likely to happen. Even if it's not the same group, or if it's the same group, makes no difference. Because in this world, when you've been hit, now the attacker publishes it. So everybody knows you have a weakness. Mm-hmm. And so if people think you paid a ransom to get yourself out of trouble, the odds are, okay, that's where the money is. And pirates have a return on investment KPI. usually they make much better money than we do. So the ratio is 8-1. So that's 800% ROI. That's not bad.
What are the top three actions you would prioritize to stabilize the situation?
Well, the first that comes to mind is containment. Segregation of the systems, and that's the first element. The second element that comes almost at the same time is plug something in that can tell me what is the situation, what is the health report of the IT systems, where are the logs, if they have not been deleted by the attacker. But because now they tend to do that, they're not very helpful people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will plug, for instance, an EDR, an XDR platform to try to collect as much information as you need to try to understand where it first got into your system. We call this zero patient, we call this root cause. Those are very important elements, because if you don't bring this to the management of the company, they will have no insurance that it's going to stop. And you don't want to keep them on their toes for too long.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
We have spoken quite a bit of this dark scenario, but not to say that if something happens, it will be brighter, but what is difference when you have actually some kind of like action plan in case of incident happens?
If we put ourselves in situation, and I will hand the floor to Alex. If you are ready to do something, people know what they're doing around the table. And maybe they don't know what they will actually do, but they know what their role is. They will provide you with information. You will have a team. People will cooperate.
How the teams cooperate in those kind of situations, like what is...
You have obligations. You have to take care of legal obligations. You need to inform regulatory authorities. You have to notice insurance company. You have to notice customers. You have to inform employees. You have to take care of internal actions to restore IT. You have to conduct the investigation. You have to identify the lessons. Lots of things to be done. So the thing is, if everyone knows what they are expected to do, it is much smoother and you gain time.
How much people is needed to minimally start effective incident response?
Not much, actually. A couple of good, skilled analysts or ethical hackers would be enough to start building situational awareness. And I think that the very first step that needs to be taken is to, as in every like a battle, you will try to understand what is going on, what is timeline, where's the enemy, what to do next. So you need to do that as quick as possible.
What is the organization like?
In a team of 4 or 5 people, you need a crisis manager. He's going to handle anxiety and he's going to handle the psychological side of things by basically doing just as in project management, saying this phase, we do this, we do this, we do that. We gather that information, we'll make a decision point out of it.
So a doctor?
Yeah. Well, he's a doctor and he's basically a brain doctor. He's going to keep you focused on what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Then you will have basically forensics guys or CERT specialists gathering the information, assessing what happened. And you will have basically architects and network experts to make sure we close the doors. With 4 people, you're good.
I have just one last question. So, what are the indicators of effective incident response? What is the KPI? How do you measure the success?
The company lives.
Company lives.
60% of SMBs, small medium businesses, have the hardest time recovering from a cyber attack. So that's the first element. The second element is your reputation is not so tainted and you can resume your activities. And if it has an impact on your revenue, 3 months later, it will have compensated if it's not in a business where you cannot recover. So.
Thank you for this discussion. Thank you, Alexei. Thank you, Gabriel. And enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Thank you.